Believe it or not, I'm not going to tell you my age, but I have been in ministry since I was 17. So I'm only 30, so it's not very long. Why are you laughing? No, I've been in ministry since I was 17. I came to the Christian school here, and when I was a junior in high school, Linda was the full-time secretary and had been ever since the church started, and she was kind of like done with that role. You know, she didn't want to work for her husband anymore. So she started training me. And so I would do school in the morning, and then in the afternoon I would come and she'd teach me how to do the bulletin. And back then it was typing the bulletin. You know, you couldn't make any mistakes. And then how to answer the phone right. And I took shorthand and I did all of that stuff that you used to do back then. You know, now being a secretary is so much easier. So I stayed in that role for 25 years. So I was Dr. Scudder's secretary for a very long time. So I've been in ministry, I've been in church basically my whole life, but actually working in ministry for a very long time, very long time. And you know, when you're in ministry, you see a lot of stuff, right? You see a lot of hard things. You see people change. I can remember many times, you know, Pastor and Linda crying over something that happened with somebody in the church, you know, somebody leaving the church, a good person, you know, that you thought had it all together and that you thought was a great Christian. You know, how many times have you seen that? Lots of times. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hand, but we've all seen people change, right? We've all seen people walk away from what they were so passionate about. You know, they were passionate about winning souls. They were passionate about children's ministry or whatever, or Christian school, and then they walk away. Why is that? Why is that? Why does that happen? Can that happen to me? Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit. You see godly people all the time change, and it's not going to end because we're all sinners, right? But it always comes to my mind, what changed in that person? What caused that person to do something that just like, wow, I cannot believe that person did that. The one thing I always come to is that Jeremiah 17:9, okay? It says, the heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Not just wicked, but desperately wicked. Who can know it? So I hate to tell you, ladies, but each one of us in here are desperately wicked. And that's why we need a Savior, right? That's why our Savior came to die and pay for our sins, because we're all very, very, very capable of sinning. And, you know, I have to say humbly, by the grace of God, there goes I, right? Each morning we wake up, we choose whether we're going to serve the Lord or whether we're going to walk away from the Lord. I want to talk today about how we can have a sound mind. And I truly believe that this is a huge problem with women, especially, right? There's that saying that says, don't bother walking a mile in my shoes, just spend 30 seconds in my brain and you're gonna freak out, right? So that's kind of the definition of a woman's mind. You know, they just basically, it's full of lots of thoughts. And that's my greatest fear. That's my greatest fear. Is Satan gonna get a hold of my thoughts? And is Satan gonna take that one thought and turn it into another thought and then another thought? And am I gonna be that person that shocks the church and walks away? I don't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen. So we have to learn how to have a sound mind. We have to be proactive about this. You know, when you have a baby, when you become pregnant, what are you? You study about, okay, how to be a good mom, how to be, you know, when you're a grandma, there is no book, you just be a grandma. But, you know, when you're starting a new job, you study whatever that job is. You find out, how come we don't study about our mind? How come we're not proactive about what's in our mind? So that's kind of what I want to talk about today. So let's take time and search God's word, and let's find some practical things that we can apply to make sure that we keep our sound mind. For many of us, we've rarely considered our thoughts and how they affect our actions. Your thoughts are powerful directors of your feelings and of your actions, right? We need to learn to think the way that God wants us to think. We need to start thinking about what we're thinking about. Start thinking about what you're thinking about. All right, what is a sound mind? Okay, listen to this. The influence of the Spirit of God is required to produce a genuinely sound mind. The influence of the Spirit of God is required to produce a genuinely sound mind. All right, you need to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to be in God's Word. The sound mind is a mind under the control of God's Holy Spirit on a daily basis, right? A sound mind is a mind that produces careful, rational, sensible thinking. All right, that's all our goal, isn't it? I want to be rational. I want to be careful. I want to make sense to my husband. I really want to make sense. But having a sound mind requires a thought process based on the wisdom and the clarity that God imparts rather than being manipulated by fear. All right, you hear that a lot, right? You hear about a lot of women being anxious and fearful. That's a big thing these days. You hear that a lot, all right? But we need to know how to control our mind. All right, we read in the Bible a lot about the heart, okay? Our decisions, our feelings, and our thought processes all come from the heart, okay? So when the Bible's talking about the heart, it's talking about your decisions, it's talking about your thought processes, okay? It's basically the control center of who you are. It's the place where your will, your attitude, and your intentions, and all of these things, which are the source of your thoughts and actions, okay? So when the Bible talks about the heart, it's talking about the mind. Let's look at a couple verses that talk about the heart, all right? We have Genesis 6, 5. And listen to this. Listen to how wicked our hearts are, okay? The Bible says it over and over. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Okay, that was right before the flood. But our mind, our thoughts easily go toward what our old nature is telling us to go toward, right? How about Genesis 8:21? For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Okay, those of you that work with children, you know that is true, right? Jesus said with these words in Matthew 15, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. The things that we speak, the actions that we do come forth from the heart and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. That all comes out of our mind, out of our heart. Pretty scary, isn't it? So do you think we need to be proactive and we need to think about what we're thinking about? Okay, think about what you're thinking about. All right, last verse, and there's many more, but Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Okay, we're commanded right there. What are we supposed to do? Keep our heart with all diligence. Keep our mind, be proactive, think about what you're thinking about. All right, the core of who you are as a person is your heart, and that's essentially you. Okay, with your heart, what do you choose? You choose between good, you choose between evil. Your conscience, what happens when you have a thought? Your conscience sends out a message of whether something is right or something is wrong. And your heart is what drives you to choose. What are you going to choose? The heart is the connection with God. And the one that is connected with God and stable with God is going to be able to choose right every single time. So there is hope. There is hope. The heart that opens itself up, though, to other impure influences, you'll become blind and confused when it comes to the truth. And then you're going to be confused about what decision you should make. So it all comes down to what? The heart and the mind, right? It all starts with a thought. Did you know that? One thought. What happens to that one thought? It just kind of roller coasters, doesn't it? One thought becomes another thought, becomes another thought, becomes another thought. And pretty soon you have all these thoughts about what's going on, right? That was me in the car on the way to the airport in Israel. Okay, wait, what's going on? You know, the alerts are going off. Wait, what's happening? What are we going to do? We have no place to go. But then as we talked about it, we realized that God had provided a place for us. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. But I have no doubt that whatsoever, all that we do, all of our actions, all of our decisions start with one single thought. Okay, so think about what you're thinking about. And they can, thoughts can be amazing, right? They can lead to great ideas. They can lead to great inventions. They can lead to, you know, masterpieces. All these things can be good, or they can also lead to something horrible happening, right? One little thought builds upon another thought. Did you know, and this is really interesting, that it's been estimated that we have between 12,000 and 60,000 thoughts pass through our mind in one day. Some of us it's more, some of us it's less. I think the men only have 10, but the women have a lot more thoughts, right? And I think it depends on what's going on in the day, right? When we were driving back from the airport, my mind was probably at 60,000 different thoughts, okay? But when you're laying down taking a nap, there's only maybe 10,000 thoughts going through your head. And you know what? It's also been said that about 80%, in most people, 80% of those thoughts are negative. That's a lot. That's a lot of negative thoughts. And what happens when you have negative thoughts? Negative thoughts bring about negative actions, negative beliefs, okay? Think about that for a minute. Think about what you're thinking about. If you start thinking about what you're thinking about and take captive your thoughts, imagine how you can take control of your mind, all right? Did you know that 95% of your thoughts are the exact same thoughts that you have every day? Like they repeat themselves. You know, oh, I gotta go take my shower. Oh, I've gotta go get my coffee. Oh, you know, some of those thoughts are just repetitive thoughts that you have. But you gotta be careful about that, because if you have one negative thought and you didn't capture that thought and think about what you're thinking about, guess what? In the morning, there's not only going to be one of those thoughts, there's going to be two or 10 of those thoughts, right? So do you see why it's really important that we train ourselves to monitor our thoughts? Why is it important? Why is it important that we have a sound mind? Because of our family and our husbands, we don't want them to kill us. But no, because your thoughts, this is really important. It's really important to have a sound mind because your thoughts are going to eventually become your beliefs. Do you ever wonder why so many people, like, you know, that listen to the news and they have these woke ideologies? Why? How can somebody believe that it's okay to kill a baby? I just don't understand that. The more you listen to that, the more you allow those thoughts, the more you entertain those thoughts, it's going to become a belief. All right? So it's really, really important that we think about what we're thinking about, okay? Sometimes the thoughts can come fast. Sometimes they can come slow. Sometimes they're unwanted thoughts, right? Sometimes they just pop into our head. Thoughts can build on previous thoughts and sometimes ignite some other thoughts, right? Truly, our mind is amazing. God made us amazing, amazingly, and we're just amazing. And we have this mind, but we have to think about what we're thinking about. At the root of everything is a thought, right? Every deed done, every action, every belief started with a single thought. Okay, that's pretty powerful. That's pretty powerful. All right, so the war on sin is first won or lost in the mind. Okay, so how do we win this battle and how do we obtain a sound mind? Is it even possible to have a sound mind? Well, let's answer that question. You know, God has fully equipped us, each one of you. God has fully equipped each one of you to win this battle of the mind, okay? He wouldn't ask us to do something if we weren't capable of doing it. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Think about what you're thinking about, okay? We must learn to capture our thoughts, okay? So how do we do this? You know what? Only you can capture your thoughts. Your mom can't do it for you. Your husband can't do it for you. Your Sunday school teacher can't do it for you. Your pastor's wife certainly can't do it for you. Only you can bring your thoughts under control. So it's up to us, right? We have to take this seriously. We have to figure out, how do we have a sound mind? All right. God commands us to control our thoughts. All right. That's what it was saying in 2 Corinthians. Okay. Take into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. He's commanding us to do this. And you know what? If there's one thing about our Heavenly Father, He's not going to ask us to do something that we're not capable of doing. Think about what you're thinking about. Okay. Think about what you're thinking about. So how do we capture our thoughts? Okay. I have three things that you can, they're in your notes, but you can write down. If you didn't get notes, by the way, they're in the back of the room. So think about these three things. The first one is, and this is the most important. This is the most important. You must know your Bible. All right. If you're a new believer, you need to get into the Word of God. If you're an old believer, you better get into the Word of God every single day. If you don't know God's Word, then how are you going to know what is good and what is pure and what is right? You have to get into God's Word. Find a way to do it. Well, I have kids. Well, this, you know, and that. Well, do you commute to work? Do you have a commute to work? Put on a podcast or you know what? We have no excuse nowadays. Where's my phone? We have no excuse. God has made it, you know, we might look at this as a curse, but this can also be a huge blessing. I have my Bible on my phone. I can pick up a passage and listen to it while I'm driving. I can listen to a sermon while I'm driving. I can listen to a podcast. I can listen to music that's going to, you know, music is very powerful. If your mind is all over the place, play some Christian music. I actually have a playlist that I have when my mind starts, you know, doing the 60,000 thoughts at one time, because it will refocus me back to, Lord, be my vision. You know, all those different things, you know, Christ alone, all those different thoughts. Music is powerful. Use that. That's going to get your mind back on track. But that's really important. You must know your Bible, all right? And that's the secret. If I stopped right here, that would be enough, but I've got more. But wait, there's more. Know your Bible. The second way to capture your thoughts is you must discipline yourself to capture those thoughts, but you have to work at this, okay? You have to think about what you're thinking about. You might have to tell yourself a couple times, stop it, stop it, stop that thought. You know, sometimes when we're alone in the car and all of a sudden our mind starts going places, you might have to say it out loud, stop it, and replace it with something positive. Replace it with something from God's Word. When you have a thought pop into your head, you need to immediately, okay, this is how you discipline yourself. Immediately ask yourself, is this biblical? Is this legitimate? Is this true? Is this a healthy thought? Is this an unhealthy thought? And then you bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Okay, let's talk a little bit more about this, okay? I have some examples for you. And I'm going to give you an unhealthy thought. And then I want you to tell me what emotion does this produce. And then we're going to replace it with a healthy thought. And these are all, you know, I talk to a lot of women. These are all things that women battle every single day. All right. So let's see. The first one is, oops, if we can get it to go. No one likes me. All right. How many times have you heard somebody say, yeah, I was walking down the hall and she didn't smile at me. She just walked right past me. How many times? Lots of times, right? My question is, was that other lady thinking the same thing? No one likes me. She didn't smile at me. You know, and then you kind of have, right? That's what happens. So what kind of emotion does this produce? Resentment, sadness, loneliness, what? Somebody said something over here. Hurt, yeah. Depression, isolation, right. It produces all those things. Is that a healthy thought or an unhealthy thought? Okay, so let's cross that out. Okay, that worked. Okay, so what could we replace it with? What is a good thought? If I have that thought pop into my head, oh, great, nobody likes me. I walk into a room and nobody acknowledges me. Nobody even knows I exist. Okay?
The one that says,
what?
The
Right. So what verse? Give me a verse. What does the Bible say about being a friend? Show yourself friendly. Right. I should make new friends. You know what? How come when I walk in a room, why do I expect everybody to say hi to me? You know, even I'm a little bit of an introvert, believe it or not. You know, I walk into a room and I can have those thoughts. But instead, I need to say, hey, how are you doing? It's good to see you. Okay? And smile. Yeah. And what kind of emotion is that going to produce? Hope. Happiness. Right? So you have that thought come into your head. You take a hold of it and you make it into a healthy thought. Okay, how about the next one? My husband, I hear this all the time, especially in ministry, okay? My husband works too much. Well, welcome to the club. No, that's not what I say. Really, it's not what I say. What kind of emotion does this produce? Resentment, anger, pity, yeah, self-pity party, sure. Abandonment. Resentment, sure, all those things. Okay, so what is a good, how can I take that thought and change it into something good?
My husband cares for me so much, he's working so hard to provide.
Right, right. Is that what you were going to say?
I was going to say, do ministry with him.
There you go, that's a really good one. Yeah, switch it around. My husband's a good provider, okay, that's a good thought. You know what? Hey, praise God, my husband's not sitting on the couch doing nothing. I mean, he does that when he comes home, but that's okay. But he's earned it. He's earned it. But you know what? Praise God, your husband's working. Praise God, your husband can hold a job down. You know, when you're around, we have a lot of people, a lot of Simple Step people, and some people have a really hard time holding a job down. And that's a true struggle. Praise God that your husband's holding a job down. Praise God that he's working today. Okay? And that he's providing for your family. So take that thought and switch it around. Okay, here's the next one. Oh, that produces gratitude, right? Thankfulness for your husband. All right, next one. This is a big one too among ladies. I'm no good. I hate the way I look. I don't measure up, blah, 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 right? Right, we always feel that way, right? I'm no good. I hate the way I look. What kind of emotion does this produce? Self-hatred. Pity party, inferiority, right? Okay, so that's a bad thought. Take that thought captive, think about what you're thinking about, and now let's replace it with something good.
I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen. That's what I was going to say. Yep. I'm a child of God. It doesn't matter what I look like. It doesn't matter. Any of that doesn't matter, okay? All that matters is that Jesus Christ loves you so much. If you were the only person, he would have died for you. And he has a plan for you, okay? You're fearfully and wonderfully made, and that's all that matters. That's all that matters, okay? So you take that thought captive, you think about what you're thinking about, and you don't measure yourself up to social media. You don't measure yourself up to, you know, the friends that you go out to eat with or whatever. Nope. You measure yourself up to God's word. I am fearfully, that's why you have to know God's word. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I am precious in the sight of God. I am the apple of his eye. That's all that matters, right? All right, courage and acceptance, okay? And that those are good things, right? Okay, the next one. This is a big one too. I can't forget what I did in my past. It haunts me. I can't forget it. Okay, that's really hard. Some people have had a really hard past and have done really hard things. But you take that thought. First of all, what does that thought produce?
Shame.
Shame. Endless guilt, right? Yep. It's awful, okay? It's an awful thought to live with. Okay. What can we replace that thought with? God has forgiven my sins as far as the east is from the west. Wow. It doesn't matter what I did in my past. What matters is what am I doing today? What kind of thoughts am I having? I'm going to take that thought. That's a thought from Satan. He wants you to live in shame. He wants you to live in guilt. He doesn't want you to be effective for Christ. No, 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 no. God's allowed this to happen in your life. You lived through something really hard. What can you do with it? You know what? God has a purpose for me. God's going to do great things with me. There's some verses I wanted to share. Isaiah 55, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. And then how about Philippians 1:6? Being confident of this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. Okay? This will produce hope, okay? Security, I have a future in Christ. All right. I think I have one more. Okay. Why did God allow this in my life? Why did God allow this horrible trial in my life? What kind of emotion does that produce? Despair, hatred, bitterness, right? Towards God. We need to take that thought captive and replace it with a healthy thought. What would a healthy thought be? After every trial comes the blessing. What if we said, why not me, Lord? Why not me? Why not? Why not? I'm so glad that you're using me, Lord. I hate that I'm going through this, but I know you have a purpose. I know that you've begun something in me, and I'm confident that you're going to take it and use it for your glory. Okay? God's in control. That's right. God is in control, and he has reasons. He's allowed things. Sometimes it's just because of the evilness of this earth. Right? The sin nature. But we can say, Lord, why not me? Okay, Lord, cool. How are you going to use this in me? How can I help somebody else with this? How can I come alongside another woman that's going through something hard like this? Okay, so take that thought captive and replace it with a healthy thought. Okay, think about what you're thinking about. All right. Matthew 22:37 tells us to love the Lord God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. Guess what? That means we can do it. That means we're able to do it. The only way to have a healthy thought life, the only way to have a sound mind and a life that's pleasing to the Lord is to have a close relationship with him, okay? Think about what is true. Think about what is real, okay? And once we've determined that we want to do that, we're going to be able to do that, okay? Our thoughts have the ability to drain us, right? And cripple us and take all of the energy out of us, right? If you're forever in all of those unhealthy thoughts, holy cow, you must be exhausted, okay? God doesn't want you to live that way. God wants you to have a sound mind, okay? At the root of everything is a thought, is a thought. Everything done, every word said, every decision made, it all starts with a single thought, okay? So think about what you're thinking about. Okay, the third way we can capture our thoughts is you must cultivate a sound mind, okay? Well, how do we do that? Well, to have a sound mind, it means to be disciplined or exercise self-control, okay, thinking about what you're thinking about, rather than allowing the fears to control us or to keep us from doing what God wants us to do. Does Satan want us to do what God wants us to do? Absolutely not. So he's going to keep pushing those thoughts forward. But the more you're prepared, the more you have God's word in your heart, the more you know God's word. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is powerful. You serve a powerful God, okay? We're told not to act in fear, but instead to act within God's will and be reasonable in our thoughts and our ways. God doesn't want you to live in fear, okay? God wants you to live in the power of his love. All right. Unfortunately, in today's world, fear is a driving force, right? You hear that all the time. You hear stuff on the news, every headline, everything's inspired by fear, okay? Fear can stir up social media frenzies. And you know what? Fear is one of Satan's favorite devices, especially with women, okay? He wants to confuse our minds. He wants us to have irrational thoughts. He wants us to have misunderstandings about what so-and-so meant when they said this to me, right? He doesn't want us to be useful for God, okay? But the word of God says in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay, fear is often illogical when you think about it, okay? Fear leads you to make wrong decisions. And eventually, it keeps you from experiencing the fullness of having a relationship with God. Okay, God has given us the spirit of love, of power, and of a sound mind. That is how you defeat fear, okay? The spirit of fear is the direct opposite of love, right? Fear is like a distorted love. It's just the opposite of love. And fear can eat away at us, right, and control us. Fear is very controlling these days. So when I was in Israel 2 weeks ago, we were on the road to the airport at 2:30 in the morning. So you guys were all awake, and we're on the road to the airport, and we get a text from Pastor Neil that says, "Are you guys okay?" I always put inflection into my text, even though it just says, "Are you guys okay?" And Jim's like, "Wow, I wonder why he said that. Neil doesn't normally text us and ask us if we're okay." So he picks up the phone and he calls Neil, and I don't know, it was in the evening, I think, for you guys. And something had been on the news about Israel's attacking Iran, and Jim's like, "What?" So sure enough, as soon as we hung up the phone, we get this alert on our phone that was all in Hebrew. So we were just like looking at it like, what does this mean? And we were watching all the cars around us to see if anybody else pulled over. Nobody else pulled over. There was a ton of policemen out, which we thought was kind of weird. But so we translated the Hebrew, and it said basically, be ready. There's going to be a bunch of alerts on your phone. So we actually have the app. Israel has this app because they get so many Houthi missiles that when there's a Houthi missile coming in, they'll send you an alert to your phone, and it makes this awful sound. And then it's just warning you, hey, be close to a shelter because the alarm could go off. And so as we're driving to the, we'll just keep going to the airport. So we go to the airport and we hear a siren. So we roll down our windows, but it wasn't really loud. And we're like, what is that? Mm-hmm. Turns out, next thing we know, Paul Vasquez, who was one of our cameramen, he calls us and he's like, are you guys okay? And we're like, Paul, I hear a siren. And he's like, yeah, there's a sirens going off right now in Jerusalem. We're like, oh my goodness. So we didn't know what to do. So, let's just get to the airport and see what happens. So there they have security, like you're still in your car and they have security. So we pulled up and the guy said all this stuff in Hebrew and Jim let him finish. And then he's like, English? And so the man's like, oh, you could have told me that before. So then he said, the airport is closed. There's no flights going in or out. Turn around and go home. We didn't have a home in Israel. We don't live in Israel. So, but you know what's really neat? You know, so we turned around. We went through the airport and we turned around and came back. But as we were driving back and trying to think, okay, what does this mean? Like, what are we going to do? Jim said, you know what's really neat is when we had made our reservations at the VRBO, you know, we reserve like apartments there through Airbnb or VRBO or something. And our flights had changed because of a funeral that we were wanting to attend. And we decided to come home a day early. So we were supposed to come home on Saturday, but we had changed our flights to come home on Friday. And the guy, the renter, said, nope, not going to allow you to change it. You still have to pay the night fee. We're like, oh, okay, whatever. So Jim was really ticked off with the guy. But you know what? Did my Heavenly Father know that we would need that place to sleep that night? Yes, he did. So then we were like all really happy and like, wow, thank you, man. That was awesome, Lord. So God took care of us. And then the other thing was, what if we had left? We were talking about, okay, what time should we leave to the airport? You know, it's 2 a.m. or whatever. Had we gotten there a half hour earlier, we would have checked in our rental car. We would have checked in our luggage. And then what? It's 2:30 in the morning. The rental places aren't open. They don't open till 8. And it was Shabbat, so they wouldn't have even opened. So God was just so good. He was just so good. He provided, we had our luggage still. We had our rental car. We had a place to sleep that night and to video all the videos that he wanted to video. The guys were like having a good old time. But, you know, I just thought it was really neat how God took care of all those little details. And, you know, he took care of them as we needed them. Okay, how are we going to get out of Israel? All the airports are closed. Oh, you know what? We'll go to Jordan. We look it up and nope, all of Jordan's flights are closed. The airport's closed because Iran shoots all the missiles right over Jordan. Oh no, now we have to go to Egypt. And we had sworn we had been to Egypt with Julie and Neil back in 2023, I think it was. And we all got sick and we swore we'd never go back to Egypt. God also has a sense of humor. And so we had to go back to Egypt. And it was not a place I ever wanted to go again because I don't like getting sick. So we basically ate chips and ice cream because they were prepackaged. So we figured that was safe and pop. And this is a crazy story. So we had rented a driver to drive us the six hours to Cairo. Turns out to be 8 hours by the time you stop and get gas and all that stuff. And we stop at the first place to, you know, use the bathroom. And the driver, he doesn't speak English. He's Egyptian. And he says, barter, 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 because we were going to buy snacks. We're like, okay. So we get out and we pick out our 13 different little snacks, you know, ice cream and chips and pop. And the man at the register says 75. And we're like, oh, okay, 75 pounds. You know, that would equal, I don't know, a couple dollars. Like, no, 75 U.S. dollars. We're like, we're all going to start dieting right now. We're not going to eat anything. So we got him. We had a man with us, another man from the Shiloh dig that wanted to travel with us. So he was willing to pay 50 for it. So he paid 50 for all of our snacks. God bless his soul. But then the next time we stopped and we got like 15 items, it was $12. So that was kind of, I think God just likes to make you laugh sometimes. But did I want to panic when I heard those alerts? Did I want to panic when I realized, oh my goodness, we're stuck. How are we going to get home? We might be stuck here for a very long time. And we had a wedding to do last week. We had Grace Conference this week. We really didn't have, my granddaughter's birthday was on Monday. We really didn't have any time to be stranded. Jim was supposed to preach on Sunday. It was Father's Day. But I couldn't help to see God's hand of protection and God's hand of provision along the way. And it was just really neat how he worked out all those different things. But I had to take each thought and think about it. Okay, what is real? Let's work on this. You know, let's replace it with a healthy thought. But I had to think about what I was thinking about. I want to look a little bit really quick at Philippians 4. This is one of my favorite chapters, okay? And Philippians 4:8 is the perfect verse for you to memorize if you want to have a sound mind, okay? Finally, brethren, say it with me. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Okay? There's the secret sauce right there. Okay? That's how you do. You want to know how to have a sound mind? Ta-da! Okay? God wouldn't give us this command if he didn't provide a way. Okay? And this is absolutely the answer. Let's pull it apart really quick. Okay? Whatsoever things are true. What are some whatsoever things are true? What does that mean?
Positive things.
Right? God's word, right?
Yes.
If you know God's word, that's all you need. God's word is true. Okay? If you're the opposite of truth is lies,
yes.
Rumors, distortions, right? But if you read scripture, you are able to align your thoughts. Okay? Whatsoever things are honest. God wants us to have honest thoughts, right? Choose thoughts that are honorable and worthy of respect. That means reject all those petty little things that pop into your mind, okay? And they pop in all the time. It's like Rice Krispies, okay? They just keep popping in. But instead, contemplate ideas that uplift and inspire. And this is where music is really great because it inspires you to think pure and honest thoughts, okay? Whatsoever things are just, okay? Embrace righteousness. Meditate on what is just and morally right, all right? If you're filling your mind with things that are not morally right, if you're watching TV that is not morally right, if you're watching whatever, things on your phone that is not morally right, are you filling your mind? Are you thinking on things that are just? No, you're not. Whatsoever things are pure, I think that's the next one. Okay, we need to seek purity. Guard your mind against impure influences, okay? Such as the harmful media, lustful thoughts. Guard your input. You are what you put in, right? You know that saying, right? Whatever comes in is what's going to come out, okay? So think on whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Train yourself to identify the things that are acceptable and pleasing to God. Is this thought you're thinking a thought that I could say out loud to my Heavenly Father. He knows, by the way, he knows your thoughts, okay? So you need to take this thought, if it's not lovely, if it's not acceptable to God, if it's not honoring to God, and shift your perspective from that thought to a thought that appreciates what God has done in your life, okay? Think on things that are of good report. Fill your mind with things that are admirable and praiseworthy, like stories of faith, kindness, do deeds of kindness, perseverance, okay? Surround yourself with positive role models, okay? This is a big one with women, okay? Who are your friends? And don't say social media, because that's not a real person, you know, I mean. They're not really your friends, right? Surround yourself. It is really important to have a friend, at least one friend. But surround, if you're, you know, maybe at work you're surrounded by negative people and sometimes you just can't help that. But you can surround yourself, when you can, surround yourself with positive people. Okay, people that are going to help you think healthy thoughts. All right, I also want to give you a few quick practical steps toward a sound mind. First, prayer and meditation. Okay, pray for God's guidance to renew your mind. Meditate on Philippians 4:8. Put that verse everywhere. Okay, meditate on God's word and pray. Ask God to help you. Ask God to help you think about what you're thinking about. Okay, practice gratitude. All right, keeping a journal of things that are true and noble or lovely in your life is a really good way to rewire your brain. I know a lot of people like to journal, but a lot of times what you're journaling is all the negative stuff. Is that really what you want your kids to find when you pass away? All those negative, awful thoughts that you've been having? No. If you're going to journal, journal about all the good things that God's doing in your life. Okay, practice that. Okay, you can easily list off 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 things that God has done for you just today. Okay, you're all sitting here. You've all had food. We're all in a somewhat air-conditioned room. We're not sitting outside under the hot sun. Cindy Stringer was just telling me that her husband was someplace preaching and they made him preach outside in the hot sun. Okay, well, praise God we don't have to do that. God's provided us with a lovely building, right? Okay, replace your negative thoughts. Think about what you're thinking about. Okay, when those anxious or harmful thoughts start popping in your mind, you need to redirect those and think about Philippians 4:8. Community support. Again, surround yourself with people that are going to encourage you to seek out lovely and pure and true things of God. That's what's so great about the Simple Steps program, our addictions program. All right? There's people in there that are going to just come alongside and support the people that are struggling. And that's exactly what they need, because a lot of them come from really, really hard lives. And maybe their friendship base isn't the greatest. Okay? But if your friends are fearful or anxious or speaking of things that are always negative, you don't need that friend. You do not need that friend. Find a new friend. And how do you do that? You show yourself friendly, right? So how do we develop a sound mind? We recognize what we're thinking about, okay? We recognize the areas of our lives that are controlled by fear, and then we learn how to conquer that fear. You won't accidentally develop a sound mind. It's not going to happen on accident, okay? It's kind of like that cookie dough is not going to make itself. You got to be real intentional about making the cookie dough and then eating it before you bake it, okay? That's just what you do. But it's not going to happen. A lot of things don't just happen on accident, right? If we're trying to improve our lives, well, this is one area that's not going to just happen on its own. Developing a sound mind takes discipline. It takes being intentional. Okay, all those things that I talked about, they're on your verse sheet there, your note sheet. Okay, know God's word. Okay, know God's word is number one. Satan wants to win your mind over. Okay, Satan wants to win this battle, and it is a battle. If you don't think the battle of the mind is a real thing, it is a real thing. And I'm sure all of you recognize that. But Satan wants to win that. But only you can be intentional about fixing it, okay? And God provided a way. God has equipped us with ways to fight back. You need to practice this helpful information from God's word and practice putting it into the ultimate goal of what? Bringing God the glory. You want your your mind, which is then your beliefs and your actions, to all glorify God. But it all comes down to what? Think about what you're thinking about, okay? The better you become at controlling your thoughts, the sooner you will develop a mental toughness against Satan's ploys in your mind. And that is possible. And that is a very real thing. And so I want to, you know, all of you are here today. All of you came to this class because you want a sound mind. Either that or you heard about the drinks. Either one, that's fine. Don't tell me if it's that. It's okay. But you know what? It is possible. And God has provided a way. And the number one key is to know God's word and then put into practice the things that God has told us to do.